go to the children's church.
At the top of the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Folks, that's so important to understand that. And I'll just mention again, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I think, or three, on the back of your bulletin is something you really should read. It's very, very good. Beholding Christ. It's once in a while, they really hit a good one. And we're going to be talking today about why would a God who is love send people to hell? It's an important lesson to learn because there are going to be many people that are not going to make it to heaven. We need to know why so that we're not one of them. So if you'll stand with me real briefly, we're going to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 together. Enter through the narrow gate. Again, Jesus is speaking here. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Heavenly Father, as we study your word, open our hearts to your truth. If anyone here today, Lord, hasn't received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, help them to learn the truth that right now they're not heading for heaven. Help them to know that if they'll trust Christ and Christ's shed blood alone, they're guaranteed of heaven. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We live in a world that has a lot of questions, and that's good. If you had a little child, you know that the first thing they start as soon as they can start talking is questions. Why can't I? Why shouldn't I? How come I can't? Questions are normal, but you know, the Bible tells us as believers in Jesus Christ, we should not only know the answers to the questions about eternal life, but we should be able to help others understand those answers. Because a lot of people think they're going to get to heaven by joining a church, or by being baptized, or by being a good person, or by keeping a list of rules. And the sad news is, none of that's going to work. It's only through personal faith in what Jesus Christ has already done that anybody's ever going to get to heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." You and I, if you've received Christ today, you and I have a living hope within us that when this life is over, we're going to step into eternal life in heaven. It's because of our faith in Christ. But many people don't know that. Do you know what you believe? And can you explain it to someone else? I mentioned in Sunday school today that Mary's cousin passed away and that Andy led her to the Lord just a day or two before she died. And so we praise the Lord. But in order to do that, you have to know the Word of God well enough to know how to explain that to somebody. We praise the Lord for everybody that can do that. Recently, I heard a story about a new Christian that was traveling on an airplane. And she was sitting next to a very intellectual man, really well-educated. And the man looked at her reading her Bible. And he shook his head and he says, "I hope you don't believe that." And she said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Ma'am, you can't believe the Bible's true, can you? And she said, yes, I certainly do, or I wouldn't be reading it. He said, well, what about the story of Jonah? How can a big fish swallow a man 3 days later, spit him out? How could that happen? And she said, well, sir, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I believe it did happen. She said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah how it happened. And the man said, well, how do you know Jonah's in heaven? Maybe he's in hell. And so the lady said, well, then, sir, you can ask Jonah when you get there how that happened. We're going to find out. But the idea is, you know, most people don't believe in hell at all in our country anymore. Now, there was a time in our country when almost everybody believed in a real heaven and a real hell. There used to be an ad when I was a young boy. I forget which cigarette brand it was. Philip Morris, I think. Anyhow, it said, you've come a long way, baby. You know, a woman that was smoking. And our country has come a long ways away from the faith of God. A Gallup poll was just done recently, and they found out that 60% of Americans do not believe in a literal hell. And of those that do believe in it, only 4% believe that they're ones that are going to hell. Well, the sad news is hell is real, and there is a real place called hell. It was not prepared for mankind. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. We'll look at that in a minute. But Jesus Christ said that the truth is there is a lake of fire. There is a destruction and a separation from God for all those who will not trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. In Matthew 7:13 again, Jesus is speaking. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many people today have a major issue with that truth. We believe the words that our Lord Jesus spoke are really the words of our God. But many people have a severe doubt about that. When someone asks the question, why would a loving God ever send anybody to hell? They're really asking two questions. The first one is hell real? And the second one is, does God really send people to hell? And so we want to look at both of those. The answer to number one, is hell real, is yes, according to the Word of God, hell is a real place. In Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So the main thing we want to look at here, if anybody's name was not found written in the book of life, they're cast in the lake of fire. The important question is, how in the world do I get my name in the book of life? Because I don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And the answer to that is you have to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, shall be saved. Saved from what? And that's a big question for a lot of people. Saved from what? Saved from eternal separation from God, eternal separation from everybody else. You're going to be all alone for all eternity in pain and suffering. That's saved from what? I don't know about you, but I have no interest in going to such a place. Again, that place was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25, verse 41, it says, then he shall say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil wasn't always the devil. When God created mankind and he created all the angels, everything was perfect. In fact, the devil wasn't called the devil at the beginning. The devil was called Lucifer. He was the strongest, most beautiful creation of all that God had ever made. But then he got the idea that he was going to be God. He was going to be equal to God. All the angels were going to worship him. And that caused the separation. Lucifer's rebellion didn't just affect him. The Bible teaches us that when he fell into that kind of a belief, a third of the angels of heaven followed him. And you wonder, how in the world could they do it? Well, they did it. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars, that's the angels, out of the sky, and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, and that's talking about Mary giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, so it might devour her child the moment it was born. Folks, the devil took a third of the angels in rebellion against God. And God sent those rebellious angels, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, to a pit. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. Folks, hell is a real place. The book of Jude also talks about hell as a real place. In Jude 1, verse 6, it says, the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So the verse says that hell was created for those who abandoned their proper dwelling. When we abandon, and all mankind has abandoned, a proper relationship with their Creator God, we're destined for the lake of fire. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's the good news of the gospel. What happened to the devil and his angels is going to happen to many, many, in fact, the majority. I hate to say that because it's almost repulsive, but Jesus said it, and so I'm going to say it. The majority of people that you and I know are not going to heaven. They're going to the lake of fire. He said many are going to go through the broad gate that leads to destruction, and only a few are going to go through the narrow gate and the narrow road that leads to life. That means the majority of the people that you and I know, when they die, will not be going to heaven. They'll be going to the lake of fire. And again, it does not have to be that way. I don't know if you know this or not, but every day on this earth, approximately 150,000 people die and step into eternity. If 150,000 people die, and the majority are going to the lake of fire, how many people is that a day that are not going to heaven? It's over 75,000 people a day that are not going to the place we all would like to go to. It's a terrible truth, but that's why Jesus warned us. And I want to read this verse again because it's so important for you to understand this. There is one way to heaven. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way. It's a narrow way. A lot of people want you to believe there's all kinds of ways to heaven. Friends, there are not all kinds of ways to heaven. Jesus Christ is God, your Creator God, according to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and he loved you enough not to want you to go with the majority. He loved you enough to come to this earth himself, bear your sin on the cross, and pay for it, die and buried 3 days and raised from the dead so that you and I can be justified. When we get to heaven, if we have received Christ, we're going to be judged as righteous as Jesus Christ is. Folks, that's perfection. That's the way I'd like to be judged. And it's there for whosoever will. In Matthew 7:13, again, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So the question we're answering today is why? Why do so few find the narrow path that leads to life? And why would a good, loving God ever make such a plan to send the majority of people that he created to that lake of fire? It's extremely important we understand this, because if we don't, we will not have a zeal to warn others. I don't know if you know why you're still on this earth or not, but our call is to glorify God and to share the gospel. Jesus said, if you're my disciple, you'll become fishers of men. Suppose Andrew didn't have a care about heaven or hell. It's no big deal. Everybody's going. And his wife's cousin is about to pass. If you don't have that zeal to share the truth, guess what? That person doesn't make it. Folks, that's why we send missionaries. That's why we're busy trying to serve the Lord, because it's important. You may not think you can make much difference, but I'll guarantee you Andrew made a difference in that lady's life for all eternity. It's extremely important you become active doing that. We don't beat people over the head with it. We love them enough to want to share the good news, because it is good news. Nobody has to go to the lake of fire. Skeptics often ask the question, why would a God who is love send people to hell? People love to label God as a hard taskmaster. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made a way so that nobody, no human being, has to go to hell. But it's the only way. You can't get there figuring it out yourself, trying to be a good person, trying to do the right things. Nobody's going to get there that way. There are going to be some wonderful people that you would say they were the best neighbor, the best parent, the most loving teacher, that are not going to make it, because they think they're going to get there by what they do. And no man is going to get to heaven by what they can do, because all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. None of us are perfect. I've been a Christian now for 56 years, I think, and I'm far from perfect yet. If I had to stand on my own before God and be judged, do you know that every sin you do, one sin will separate you eternally from God? And man, I got a whole lot more than one. I'm glad for the grace of Jesus Christ. He loved me enough to give himself for me. If a criminal, let me just ask you, if a criminal, and I know if you looked at our law today, this won't be true, but years ago, if a criminal committed several crimes, stood before the judge, was proved absolutely guilty of those crimes, if he was a just judge, what would he have to do? He'd have to send that person to jail. You broke the law. Here's what the law says. All I'm doing as a judge is simply carrying out the law. Do you know the law of God says the soul that sins, it shall die? That word death or dying is separation. We are going to face, most of us in this room, two deaths. One death is physical death. Separation of the soul from the body. It's going to happen the second you die. If Jesus Christ doesn't come in our lifetime, everybody in this room, sooner or later, we're going to die. Anybody here know anybody 200 years old? Don't think so. Me either. So if you add a little time to yourself, you know that sooner or later, it's going to be your turn. The question is, what then? Because there's another judgment after physical death, and that's the judgment either you receive eternal life by your faith in Christ and you're judged righteous in God's sight and you enter into the kingdom of God, Or the judge stands before you and says, he looks in the book of life, and he doesn't see your name. The Bible says anybody whose name is not in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. The judge is simply saying, is their name in the book or not? If it's not there, you don't go into heaven. If it's there, because you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go to heaven. God is not just loving. God is loving. In fact, the Bible says God is love. And I'm glad for that, because that way he can overlook my sin. But God is also holy, and God is also just. He's not a judge that you can just come up and say, well, I thought it was this way, and so I did what I thought was best. You're not going to get into heaven that way. I thought until the age of 25 that if I was a good person, I'd make it to heaven. And then Pastor Williams came to my house and said, Jerry, he said, why would God let you into heaven? I said, well, I try to do what's right. I try to be good. And he said, do you know how many good people the Bible says there are? And I said, no, how many? He said, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Boy, that hit home with me. Uh-oh. Maybe I'm in trouble here. The guilty person, because God is just, all have sinned. How many are guilty? All. The wages of sin is death. We're going to get to that later, but positionally, the judge must carry out the law. The good news for us, the soul that sins it shall die. But you're not responsible for what your mother, your dad, your uncle, your aunt did. You're responsible only for yourself. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we stand before the judge as innocent, because how many of our sins we just saying, nothing but the blood can wash away all my sin. Do you understand when you get to heaven? Either you're going to have all kinds of sin on your record because you're standing there in your own righteousness, or you're going to have zero sins on your record because you're standing there in Christ's righteousness. When God says, you're perfect, you've done everything I ask you to do because you received my Son, that's going to make all the difference for all eternity. The longer I read my Bible and the more I study it, the more I know my God is love. He's made every provision so nobody has to go to the lake of fire, no person. The devil and his angels, it's already set. That's not going to change. But for a person, as long as you're alive, there is going to come a time when it's too late. The day you take your last breath, it's too late then. But up until that day, if you'll trust in the good news of Jesus Christ, that God became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, if you'll put your faith in what he did on the cross, because on that cross, the Bible says he took all my sin and all your sin, and he paid for it with his life. If you'll trust that, you'll have eternal life. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My friend, that includes you, that includes me. None of us are exempt from this. And then Romans 6:23 gives us the warning. For the wages of sin is death. That's talking eternal separation. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord is loving, but our Lord is just. God doesn't show favoritism. The Jewish people really thought because they were Abraham's seed, they were all set. In Romans 2:11, it says, God does not show favoritism. There's no special blessing of being a male or a female. There's no special blessing of being white, black, red, brown, or any color. There's no special reference that I'm a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Hindu for that sake. God treats us according to the faith that he finds in us. If he sees in us Christ, we're going to be fine. If he doesn't see Christ, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have done, your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will not get eternal life. In Romans chapter 89, verse 14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. So our God is a righteous God and a just God. He's made a way that he can pay the penalty, but you have to accept it. Nobody can do that for you. It's a personal choice you must make. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Most people have a problem with the idea of hell. They don't want to believe it. They want no thought of a God who would ever send anybody there. But God gives us a warning that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Either you're going to change the way you think and accept what God in his word says is true, or you're going to go on in self-will and self-determination and determine a loving God would never do that. The Bible says that God is love, but God is just. You're the one that has to make up your mind, am I going to get there by being a good person? Was Uncle Joe saved because Uncle Joe was a good man? He served in the military. He was a good father. He worked well at work. He loved people. Is that going to get Uncle Joe to heaven? If Jesus is telling the truth, no, that will not. It grieves my heart. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God doesn't want people going to hell either. That's why you and I are here. We're here so we can warn others. There are two places to go, and we do get to choose. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I chose to put my faith in Jesus Christ, not myself. I am a sinner. James 2:10 says, if you keep the whole law and you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. We think adulterers and murderers and that kind of people, well, hell would be good for them, but not for good people, not for nice people. The Bible says none of us are good and none of us are nice. We all need a Savior, and God has made a way. Tonight we're going to carry on with this, because it's extremely important you understand the truth of God's word so that you can help others. We're not judging them. That's between them and God. We're warning them. We're telling them there's two places you're going to go. You get to choose. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I chose Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my salvation is settled. I'm glad that I know where I'm going when I die. Again, not because of what I've done, but because who I have trusted in. I'm not trusted in Jerry Larkin. I know Jerry Larkin. He's a sinner guy, and he still is, and he always will be until he dies. I'm trusting Jesus Christ alone. I hope you are too. Father, grateful for your word. Grateful, Lord, that you've given us a warning, because you are a loving God. You've given us a warning that we get to choose, but we must choose. Not choosing is not an option, because if we don't do what you tell us in your word, we have made a choice. Father, open our hearts to your truths. As we go into the communion service, Father, help us to make sure that we're in communion with you before we take it. And Lord, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.